Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and you're very welcome along to this week's episode of the Group Chat Podcast from Virgin Media News. I am political correspondent Gavin Riley, joined in studio by news correspondent Zara King.
Hello, Zara, happy Christmas.
And to you, and by news correspondent Richard Chambers.
And so this is Christmas.
And what have we done? What indeed have we done? We will talk in some depth in a little while about what we have done, because we'd have a little...
It's Christmas colour on our logo as well, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's our standard logo.
Nothing has changed,
but all right.
It does look Christmassy if you look at it.
Our set designers have made the set look extra Christmassy by... keeping it as red as it always was. It's cold out, isn't it?
It's freezing.
It's been the week where you're like, actually, this is the week for the gloves. Like, I don't know whether you guys...
I get the gloves out in September now. I love the leather gloves.
Really?
Once it hits September, I'm like, it's fair game.
Like an early 2000s Premier League footballer.
Yes.
Gloves are on.
The gloves are on.
Because I always feel like sort of like early October, sort of budget day time is where I'd usually be 50-50 as to whether I've broken out like gloves? The coat or the gloves. I mean, I wasn't even wearing a coat on the news until about 3 weeks ago. And now it's like...
I actually was kind of the same. You'd normally get to, like, it's kind of December is when the big coat comes out.
Mm. Oh, the good coat.
And then the big coat stays out until March.
That's the Arsene Wenger full-length duffel coat.
Yeah, exactly.
On the more serious side, the weather has been possibly, maybe not the biggest story of the week, but it's the one that we can't all get away from. And Zara, you've actually been out of Met Aaron today.
How much longer
is this going to go on?
Oh, so it's going to be, I said, like, is it going to get better at the weekend? And they said it'll just be less cold at the weekend.
Thanks, Met Aaron.
So warmer? And they were less cold.
But what's actually happening at the moment? Because obviously the start of the week there was all the, okay, there's some snow around and all that sort of stuff. But is there anything actually happening apart from it just being very cold?
Well, there's an orange weather warning in place starting from tonight. So when you're watching this on TV tonight, the orange weather warning will be in place and it will continue until midday tomorrow. And then a further orange weather warning for basically the whole country then, except for Donegal, from Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. So it's basically, icy, sleety, kind of, you know, frosty conditions, could drop as low as -11, which is I wonder, is that a record? I should check.
We were saying just before we came on air, I think there was possibly a temperature in the like the late 2009 2010 cold snap, there was something that was comparable or slightly more than that,
it was -7.5 last night, was the lowest temperature recorded last night, it's mad. It's basically due to continue until like well into the weekend. In terms of whether we're going to have a white Christmas, too early to say, unfortunately.
Wow.
I know.
I
think they're hanging on to us with that one, you know.
They always say this every year.
I know, but we love it though.
It's one of the staples of Christmas.
When you're working until the 23rd of December, watch me drag the arse out of that.
Are you working until the 23rd?
I'm working until the 23rd, and I can promise you now, viewers, that I will either be in Dublin Airport with heartwarming reunions. And asking Met Aaron, is it going to snow on Christmas? That's exactly what Sarah King will be doing next week.
Right. Richard pouring coffee on himself is supposed to be the only way you're going to stay warm outside doing lives. That's the secret trick.
The outside-y nature of the lives, though, I find most challenging at the moment.
Well, speaking of being out in the airport, you've already spent a lot of time out in the airport because what goes in hand with cold weather is the old travel chaos. And there's been a fair amount of that in the airport this week.
Yeah, there's been a bit of chaos. So there was about 70 flights cancelled. There were 70 flights cancelled in and out on Monday. Now, we were talking about this. There's about 600 flights today, so it's 70 of 600.
Okay.
But that's still 70.
There's still people involved.
There was a group of people I met that were going for a weekend away, for example, to Liverpool, and they were meant to go on the Friday. The flight was cancelled, and then, basically their whole weekend was kind of cut in half, and then when they were coming back it was delayed, so they were delayed going back to work. It's just really annoying for people effectively, but look, it's weather. But there's definitely a feeling, and Mary Lou MacDonald raised this in the Dáil yesterday, that Dublin is a main European airport, we should be able to kind of operate when
I actually don't think that's Heathrow had problems, Gatwick had problems,
everywhere had problems,
what are we talking about? Is Eamon Ryan meant to put a roof in the airport?
It did seem slightly
plane can't take off if there's a roof in the airport.
It's one thing for the summer when we were talking about the front door of the nation being in rag order because it couldn't deal with all the passengers who wanted to leave the country.
Far be it for me to defend Dublin Airport.
I was going to say, like, literally the quote of the year, the front door of the nation banging off its hinges. Yeah. It's Richard Chamberlain.
You can't take the Fingal out of Richard. He's just trying to defend the airport at all costs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know whether Eamon Ryan can reasonably be expected to keep the airport running when there's, like, negative temperatures and, like, planes need de-icing. I don't know how that's
supposed to be. And, like, the de-icing, like, Dublin Airport, we're saying, does take actually quite some time and everything. And it's actually, like, then you've got, obviously, aircrafts are getting delayed and their slots and everything. So, look, it's been a bit of a chaotic week. Obviously, I suppose anyone travelling next week home for Christmas will hope that the weather will have improved. Mm. But Met Aaron's not. They're definitely not wedded to what's going to happen next week at the moment. Mm. Just less cold is the message for the weekend.
We made a passing mention there to there being some travel chaos or some chaos in people's lives caused by all of this. Zara King has been accused of completely ruining
this is a scurrilous news.
Yeah.
We have, I think, to be able to show our viewers on TV, we have a page from this week's edition, this week's West Kerry edition of the Kerryman newspaper, the headline, and that was the end of trying to keep it a secret about a newly engaged couple who claimed that they had their lovely surprise for all of their friends completely scooped by Zara King reporting on the Virgin News at 5:30 on last Monday evening. Now, we sort of feel like we need to put the record a bit straight on this.
Well, so this couple, a gorgeous couple, just got engaged in New York. We met them at the airport. We interviewed them on the way out to the airport and their connecting flight to Kerry had been cancelled and they were hoping to get home to share their good news. Joni and I interviewed them and everything was great and, like, we said goodbye and best of luck. And then I read in the paper that apparently I've ruined their engagement surprise.
Yeah, Anthony and Emma had just returned home to Dublin Airport from an unforgettable trip to New York City where Anthony had popped the question to his longtime girlfriend under the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center.
Good spot.
And there was a lovely picture of them getting engaged, actually. Yeah, very nice.
As the pair were just making their way out of the airport to head to the train station, they were stopped by journalist and news correspondent with Virgin Media News, Zara King. And it's here that Anthony and Emma's plans to keep their engagement a secret went out the window. "We were on a week-long holiday in New York," said Anthony. "I only proposed on the Saturday because I thought if I did any earlier in the week," she said, "no, then I'd have banjacks the holiday." Good thinking,
that was a good,
to be fair.
That was good thinking.
Good to leave it towards the end. So we thought no more of it and we started travelling home on the Sunday. We get back to Dublin, which we're completely jet-lagged, had no sleep. We're heading out the door. Zara King is just there with a microphone. Emma kind of looked at me as if to say, "Don't mention anything about the engagement on the news." But sure, I just blurted it out. And of course, that was the end of trying to keep the secret.
But they didn't tell me it was a secret, though.
This is the point. Okay, let's get into this.
Just pause for a second. The best line. Read that line.
Anthony said that he was told by Zara that the couple's interview would air on the 9 o'clock news that night.
Fact check. There is no 9 o'clock news on Virgin Media.
We don't have a 9 o'clock news.
There's a lot of backtracking going on here.
Yeah.
Do we want to set the record straight by showing people exactly what happened between you all?
Let's watch the tape. Let's get the receipts out.
When did you find out your flight was cancelled?
About 2 hours after we checked in. Yeah, so we dropped off the bags, all of that stuff. Yeah. And he got an email. Did no announcement over the intercom. Nothing.
At all, yeah. So we'll just have to chase it up now. Finally got our bags back, but I'd say next train we can get, hopefully it'll be 7 o'clock. We run for a taxi now. Just travelled to America. We were in New York for a week. So we just got back and our connecting flight then was to Kerry. So
kind of a weird end to the holiday, I suppose.
Yeah. We just got engaged in New York as well. So this is like, we just got engaged in New York. So this is like the the story that we won't be telling. But yeah.
For better, for worse, guys.
Cheers. Yeah.
Touché. Touché.
Together, we got a shot of you together there now. Hold on. Ah, this is gorgeous. I love a story like this now. You know I love a story like this.
Bang to rights, lads. Come at the king. You best not miss.
poor old Anthony and Emma, because, like,
Anthony's going to kill me now. This couple are deaf. They're probably going to be like, well, look, in fairness.
Reputation.
Yeah, I know, in fairness. But, like, so I had no chit chat after that because, like,
yeah,
you know.
I watched the footage when I was cutting that clip. Yeah. So basically, they posed for the camera. They
well,
posed
Joni
for Joni
told me, get out of the way. So I ran into the terminal. I went, bye bye bye. Ran into the terminal building, and then she got a shot of them walking off. So I was like, there was no small talk about Nigel Lane's. But anyway, listen, either way, congratulations to both of them. I think this is a great engagement story, personally. But I absolutely did not let the cat out of the bag.
I'm looking forward to the Kerryman's clarifications page next
year. Fergus, it's Fergus Denny, he's the journalist who wrote it. Did message me last time. He actually said to me, I hope this gets a mention on the group chat.
Did.
So it has.
There you go, now, Fergus. Before we go to a break, we said we were going to mention, and look, it's very brief. I actually don't think we'll go too much into the weeds of it because it's happening this Saturday. We've already spoken a little bit about the cabinet reshuffle. The closer that we get to it, it sort of seems like it's all going to be a little bit of a non-event. I mean, yes, there's the whole pomp and ceremony of a Taoiseach resigning and a new one being appointed.
It's not really pomp and ceremony, though. There's no ceremonial maces and stuff like that. Like,
I was going to say, well, at least there is pomp, but I'm not actually sure there's no pomp either.
There is a ceremony.
Is there nothing happening then? What actually happens, Gav?
So Micheál Martin goes down to the Oras on Saturday morning and hands in his resignation. Then he comes back to the Dáil. The Dáil meets on Saturday morning. Everyone goes, why are we here on a Saturday morning? Micheál goes, I've gathered you all here because I've just resigned. We need to appoint a new Taoiseach. They have a debate about whether Leo Varadkar should be the Taoiseach. At about 1 o'clock, the Dáil votes and appoints Leo Varadkar's Taoiseach. He says, grand thanks, off to the Oras. Spends the afternoon filling the cabinet, which is where there will probably be very little drama because it doesn't look like there's going to be many personnel exchanged at all. Mm-hmm. He comes back in at 5 o'clock. He announces who has what job, and then they head off to the Oras that night and get their seals. And that's really about it. So for something which was set up as this kind of real political fixture and this kind of real halfway point, it's actually going to be very underwhelming when it comes to it, I think.
So no major changes are expected apart from Micheál is probably going to go to Foreign Affairs, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's the one thing that we're all looking out for, is which job does Micheál Martin take for himself? The expectation is that he will go to Foreign Affairs because he has just gotten very invested in Foreign Affairs, and he's also very interested in Northern Ireland.
And I met one of the print polycords in the coffee shop across from Leinster House, which does very good sandwiches, by the way. Just not an ad, just facts. They do great Zambos over there. You can't get a freshly made sandwich in Dublin, sorry, that's for another week. But anyway, one of the girls is saying to me that she doesn't think he's going to go to Foreign Affairs.
So where does that person think he'll go?
Maybe that business portfolio.
So that enterprise job that he was doing is a straight swap.
Maybe, but
This is one thing that we could look out for, because they have now become so cautious and they want to upset so few people that they could literally just do a direct job swap. You become Taoiseach and Minister for Enterprise and leave it at that.
Is it time to apologise to Stephen Donnelly?
In next week's episode, which there won't be. That's a harkback to for long-standing listeners who will know that I confidently predicted the dismissal of Stephen Donnelly in an episode much earlier this year, which now seems less and less likely because of the prospects of there being less personnel being changed.
So is that the thing then? Because if you're going to move one person out of a job and then they're on their own, then it's much more of a thing.
If it were a more wide-scale reshuffle and you're moving multiple personnel in and out, then it doesn't look like you've sacked any individual one of them. You've just decided to rotate. If you were to only dismiss one minister and then appoint one other one, it looks like a sacking. And if he was the only person to be dropped out of cabinet, then it would look really bad. But to be fair, Stephen Donnelly has been doing a lot of work at cabinet, which we're going to talk about, I think, in just a couple of minutes. A question for the two of you. Can you think of any examples where you went to cover a story and started out being very dispassionate and thought that you were just showing up to put a microphone in front of someone to get the clip, to get the soundbite, and go, right, grand, thanks very much, and then find yourself getting really emotionally invested in it as you were there?
I'm really emotionally invested in like average stuff, well, so probably not me.
That's what makes you so
I mean, I'm just over emotional about a lot of things.
The reason I asked that is because yesterday was one of those examples, yesterday, Tuesday, because I got sent to a very quick and very hastily arranged media event outside government buildings where Stephen Donnelly was going to be announcing some changes to the law on surrogacy. And I went along and I had a few other things to do on that lunchtime. So I thought it was literally just a case of show up with a camera, put a microphone in front of his mouth, get a soundbite or two, grand, job done. And came away like really, like, emotionally touched by some of the scenes that were there, because when Stephen Donnelly was announcing these changes to surrogacy law, he was surrounded by a couple of other ministers, but he was also surrounded, flanked by people, parents of children who were born through surrogacy. And I don't think I've ever been in an event before where I saw people just spontaneously crying with relief and joy because of what was being announced by a minister in front of them. This is a long overdue thing. And actually, Zara, you've been talking to a very high profile exponent of this campaign.
Yeah, so Rosanna Davison's one of the campaigners who's been working on this. And her daughter Sophia was born in 2019 via surrogate in Kyiv. And I suppose, look, for Rosanna, the situation has been that her husband, Wes, is recognised as Sophia's father, but that Rosanna was not recognised legally as her mother. So this is a really big, substantial moment for her family. And we've been talking to her, getting her reaction today.
Well, for my family, it means that I will be legally recognised as my daughter Sophia's mother. I'm her biological mother, and I've been waiting for over 3 years for this, really, since she was born in Kyiv in 2019. It's, you know, it's so positive for a multitude of reasons, from medical consent forms to inheritance tax reasons. But, you know, we'll be seen as a legal family, and she'll have two legal parents as well, which is so important. And she'll be equal to her brothers, Hugo and Oscar, who I gave birth to in 2020. And it just means as well that I don't have to have that conversation with her in the future that I was dreading, to tell her that she's not equal to her brothers legally. And despite being all related, despite being an Irish citizen. And, you know, I was really dreading the psychological stress that may have had on her. So it's positive for many, many reasons. And, you know, I do appreciate there's still work to be done in 2023, but really it's the best Christmas present for our family and the hundreds, if not thousands, of other Irish families with children born through surrogacy. It's a hugely significant day for creating equality for children. And ultimately, that is what this campaign has been all about. Equality for Irish children, so that they're not in the situation that Sophia was in, where she's not seen as legally equal to her brothers.
I think some of what Rosanna is saying there completely speaks to what I was hearing from some of the parents that were there at that event yesterday, because they were all openly talking about how one thing they kept saying was that this is going to be the last Christmas where the kids are coming down the stairs and they're not recognised as a traditional nuclear family in the eyes of the state. And for those of us who don't ever have to worry about those sorts of complications or the legal quandaries of all of this, like, it must be an enormous thing, first of all, to have to deal with that being the law, but then to know that it's going to be resolved sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and like Rosanna has spoken very publicly about the fact that she suffered multiple miscarriages before they made the decision to opt for surrogacy. And then, as she mentioned there, then she, shortly after Sophia was born, was lucky to go on to have twins and give birth to twins herself. So she's actually a very busy mum of kind of effectively three under three. And that's why she was kind enough to chat to us in the car there. So, you know, she would recognise totally that she is one of the lucky ones. She recognises as well that, you know, surrogacy is incredibly expensive, but that, you know, for couples who want to create a family, that this is, you know, this is an option now, and that this is something that if you're fortunate enough to be able to do it and can afford to do it, that it is something that people will potentially choose to do. We'll take a listen to what you have to say about that.
It really does. It means that surrogacy has become, you know, it's still expensive, but when you sort of exclude the legal fees that people would face without the legislation, then it does become a little bit more feasible for individuals or couples to start a family. And, you know, this legislation is historic. It's, you know, setting a precedent as well for other countries. And I'm proud of Ireland for being progressive and recognising the need for legislation, because surrogacy has grown so much in, I wouldn't say the word popularity is the right word to use, but, you know, couples have been creating families through surrogacy over the past number of years. And I just feel that the conversation has really, really become so much more widespread, mainstream and positive about surrogacy. And yeah, it's just a means for couples or individuals who are otherwise struggling to have a family to actually, you know, welcome a baby or multiples. So it can only be a positive thing. And it's also a recognition that families aren't created in the traditional way, and that there are other means to parenthood. You know,
it recognises the families aren't always created in a traditional way, the sort of parting point there from Rosanna Davidson. And for people who don't know, I mean, it's been well told this year, Rosanna actually helped the woman who gave birth to Sophia to come to Ireland with her family after the war broke out in Ukraine.
Do you remember that,
yeah? Yeah, and actually they have a gorgeous relationship and they're very, very close actually. And Rosanna was saying they're going to spend a bit of time together this weekend, and they've got, I think, the surrogate mum's daughter's a birthday this weekend as well, and all the kids are really good friends and they will grow up knowing one another and having that relationship. And you know, so look, I suppose they're one of the lucky ones that it's been a happy ending for them, but certainly this is a real progressive step.
Something that has to be worked on early next year to actually get that legislation done, because it's been done in a kind of a complicated way legally speaking. So it's going to take a little bit of nuance to get talked through in the Oireachtas. But Stephen Donnelly was saying that he expects to be the guy who basically talks it through the committee.
Yeah, and so, to be fair, Rosanna did point out to Stephen Donnelly and was really grateful to him actually, and did thank him. So credit where it was due there. So she did thank him for
which
that.
Might be why I'm going to be disproven when that reshuffle happens. But thanks to Rosanna for speaking to us, because I know it's an emotive thing. She's been a very outspoken supporter for it, but glad she was able to join us. On another matter entirely, that's a really big story for those families. There's been a big story this year, Richard, this week rather. It could be a huge story for the world. Forevermore.
The one thing I found in doing the group chat is how excited I get about scientific discoveries.
I was only going through other older videos the other day, and you got so excited about that giant telescope in the summertime.
The Webb telescope, which I'm going to mention again later under a different context.
Okay.
But fusion power, Gav. Fusion power.
What is fusion power?
Fusion power is the holy grail of scientific discoveries. It effectively will promise limitless energy. We're in an energy crisis. Do you know how much like a difficult it is to even power homes and all that sort of stuff?
But your people are wondering, like, with the cold snap this week, people are wondering, like, when can they turn the heating off? It's so cold.
Yeah. Well, this isn't gonna solve all this now.
Okay.
But this is for the future, that you'd have limitless energy. You put in less energy that comes out, which is incredible, and it's also clean. So we have obviously all the fossil fuel giants, your Shells, your BPs and all that sort of stuff, and they're all being pressed on what they're going to do for the future. Well, the answer could be not just around the corner, because it's probably not that close. It could be a couple of decades away. But something which was almost thought impossible to happen has actually happened this week. So we had this discovery in the US that they have made a breakthrough on this, that they put in less energy than came out. And one of the scientists behind this, the fabulously named Dr. Marv Adams, explains really the experiment that they carried out.
There's a tiny cylinder here at the end of this that you probably can't see. It's about so tall and this wide. Inside that was a small spherical capsule about half the diameter of a BB. 192 laser beams entered from the two ends of the cylinder and struck the inner wall. They didn't strike the capsule, they struck the inner wall of this cylinder and deposited energy. And that happened in less time than it takes light to move 10 feet. So it's kind of fast. X-rays from the wall impinged on the spherical capsule. Fusion fuel in the capsule got squeezed. Fusion reaction started. This had all happened before, 100 times before. But last week, for the first time, they designed this experiment so that the fusion fuel stayed hot enough, dense enough, and round enough for long enough that it ignited, and it produced more energies than the lasers had deposited. About 2 megajoules in, about 3 megajoules out, a gain of 1.5. The energy production took less time than it takes light to travel 1 inch. Kind of fast. So this is pretty cool. I have a special message to listeners who want to work on exciting, challenging, and important problems. We're hiring.
So, like, when he says pretty cool, like, he's not wrong. Like, it is pretty cool.
It's pretty an amazing thing. Like, they've been literally working decades on this. Like, there's only a few of these fusion reactors anywhere in the world. They literally heat up, the inside of the reactor heats up to 100 million degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So that is literally hotter than the center of the sun. Several times hotter than the center of the sun. That there's a few of those, a handful of those that exist. So it's basically the hottest surface anywhere in the universe, in the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, this is the basis of potentially what is going to be the fuel of the future. This could save the climate, could save the planet.
Wow.
Pretty remarkable that people like Marv are out there and doing it in such kind of enjoyable ways.
I can tell you love him. You literally love him. We were watching that clip and we're just like, it's just the coolest man.
He's great. Get Marv on. I like good science explained well.
Just late entry for your Hero of the Year.
Yeah,
maybe we'll talk about that in a second.
Get him on, number one.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, we've done enough foreshadowing for this. We might as well get right to it. This is our last episode of the group chat for 2022. It's the last one of series 2. We were back in the new year, but more about that anon. But to close off the year, we decided that the only appropriate thing to do would be to have the first ever Grand Gala Grand Prix Group Chat Annual Awards of the Year, hereafter known as the Groupies.
Beautiful.
Sorry, not sorry. The first category that we put out on our Instagram accounts asking people for some suggestions. And thank you to everyone who got back to all three of us, because some of your ideas were great. Favorite news moment of the year?
Of the year.
Sarah.
Well, I mean, the first one on the list is we all kind of felt the Agatha Christie trial was absolutely...
I mean,
it really was.
It's very hard to sort of look past that as a favourite, as sort
gold.
Of a positive sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, we all were very invested in it.
Yes.
Mm. There's a lot out of it.
It was very easy to get invested in.
It ran about three of our episodes, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for.
So enjoyed the drama of it. So enjoyed the back and forth. Just so enjoyed the whole thing.
So with that as an obvious first place winner, the first ever Groupie Award. Well done, Rebecca Vardy. That's you.
She gets to claim the cup.
She gets to win
the cardboard cup. It's a recyclable cup. But
a cup that would suit very well at the bottom of an ocean. That's a trial gag there.
But there was just so many great moments.
Were there highlights for you?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of other ones that kind of stood out. It's actually really hard to remember a lot of the stuff that happened this year. But I think Michael D. Higgins going a bit rogue on the housing rant back in June was really like... I still like remember sitting there that day down in Kildare, and he did not hold back. He called it out for what it was, and I thought, you know what, this is quite a big take from him. And it ended up being just a really, like, you know, impressive story in the end, in the sense of the way he went about it. And it was something that, like, the president doesn't normally do, actually. Like, he never normally comments on things like that, or he doesn't really
but
Michael D has now, probably recently, but
normally
previously you wouldn't have seen the president really kind of go straight out like that. And then, you know, actually it was interesting, because in the following days after that, I ended up kind of doing a case study with a family who had just found out they were going to be evicted from their home the same day that he had made that point. I just thought, you know, the whole thing, it just really captured, I think, like, the crisis of our time in a way that was quite powerful, actually, and quite impressive.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard, your idea for moment of the year?
Well, it was Agatha, really. So, I mean, we did have a load of listener suggestions for this. Some of those included, you know, the Irish fishermen beating Russia back at the start of the year.
Sorry, oh, can we just recap on that for a second?
Beating Russia. But they defeated Russia.
So in the great history of Irish moral victories, it was an absolutely titanic moral victory for the West
like
Cork fishermen.
How Ireland won in the Luzhniki Stadium when we got a 0-0 draw against them in the qualifiers.
Pretty much. Like, I mean, it was fairly short-lived as a victory, because obviously everything that happened afterwards was obviously put into different context. But it was something which was kind of like just one of those weird stories that happens in Ireland. That we all sort of get really invested in.
Like, the media camped outside the Russian embassy while the fishermen went in for a meeting, and then, like, we all waited to see what the fishermen had been told. Like, you know, it was so brilliant, like, really, when you look at it at the time.
Other stuff as well, the trial of the 4-day work week, the coverage of the Queen's funeral, which is a strange enough one. Maybe somebody enjoyed the pomp and circumstance of all that. Removal of the blood donation ban for men who have sex with men. That's a brilliant one.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, that was good. Yeah,
that's something which advocates of that have been looking for a long, long time.
That has been such a long running thing, and it has been decried for such a long, long time that it is mad that it came down to 2022 for it to be finally lifted. And the other listener suggestion was really England brought a cat home from the World Cup. So Kyle Walker and John Stones found this. There's apparently loads of stray cats who are walking around the World Cup in Qatar. Qatar, perhaps. But anyway, they took the cat home with them. They didn't take the World Cup home with them.
I didn't even know that happened.
They took a cat home.
What was your one?
My one... We have tried so hard not to talk too much about the pandemic on this pod, because everyone is kind of sick to death of thinking about it and dealing with all the baggage that came with it. But honestly, that day in January where the restrictions were lifted wholesale, quicker than a lot of us had ever expected. And even though there was always this threat of maybe something much more come around the corner, like, it really did feel that time more than any other time that, you know, this was the end of us standing around outside or inside government buildings at the Department of Health on Friday evenings, waiting to see how our lives were going
to
be.
The day I got evicted from the Department of Health, having lived there for 2 years.
You were getting very close to having squatters' rights.
I was.
I mean, aside from that being the day that we also all met up outside a cafe on Bank Street and decided, you know, we should do a podcast.
We did.
Which was a nice thing.
That was the day.
It was that day,
because we were very rarely allowed to be together otherwise, because you'd always run the risk of being in close contact with somebody.
Was it a sausage roll they had there?
You got a sausage roll. I got the vegetarian sandwich, and we sat on this. The bench didn't even fit the three of us on it.
No.
Three of us were squashed onto this bench outside this coffee shop. We're like, here, we do this podcast then, yeah.
But the idea that, you know, we had heard so many lines of poetry, and there were so many different heaney lines, or we were told if we can winter this, then you can winter. Yeah. And we'd finally wintered it out, and it was over, and that the virus wasn't gone away, but that we were allowed to go back to living normal lives and to have.
I love how much we've all just gone back to normal. I think it's so brilliant, because remember there was times where you'd be like, will we ever do this again, will we ever do that again? And I just love that we've all just gone, yeah, we just do everything again, like, you know, we're all back to kind of,
yeah, obviously
living
for,
our lives.
For everybody that isn't the case.
No.
But for the whole, like, as a sort of a at large, absolutely it was. And it was, it was a very much a curtain closing on that sort of long national period of worry and freak out whenever you heard, you saw the podium coming outside government buildings. And again, as you say, Gav, you know, Seamus Heaney poems and
so
references to other pop culture.
We ran out of poetry. We literally ran out of poetry.
Did you know that day, though, that it was definitely over? Because I think we had so many kind of moments where things were good and then the tide would turn. Like, it was kind of, even though it was exciting, I remember thinking, oh God, like, I really hope we're not like prematurely celebrating.
I think it was the scale of everything. The fact that they stood so much down at once that it wasn't even like they were leaving the architecture in place and they could step it up again. Like, it wasn't like back in the old days where you'd go from level 5 to 3, but that you still had the space to go back to 4 and 5. It was like, they were like, nah, we're done with that now. It is an insufficient threat to warrant any changes. But I just remember the government buildings is not a place where you get vibes.
Yeah.
The vibes in government buildings that day were great.
There was an instant happiness. Like, I remember I had a sort of a half smile on my face during the news of 5:30.
You went
TG
viral.
TG Carr did a viral tweet.
Yes. Intern TG Carr took a screen grab of you smiling.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
And shared it. And that, if that wasn't just a screen grab that told the story of a nation that day.
But the fact that, like, I think there was, from the public, there was a sense of mission accomplished about this. And you can, like, it'll only be in the long run you'll see, well, whether or not that was really the end of it or whatever. But, like, there was really a sense of, there was a huge achievement. There was a lot of relief that day anyway.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Which is what, and like you said, people have gone back to normality pretty quickly, which is why we're not going to talk
well,
about
it. Well, it's more like
again.
The festive period. Like, just when you think of, like, it's been nice to go for, like, you know, drinks and dinners with people this month. Like, I mean, when you forget, like, the last 2 years.
The last 2 years,
it kind of was like, this year I've really enjoyed the run up to Christmas in a way that I probably never did before, because maybe just the last 2 years we just couldn't have it. Like, so that's been really special, actually.
Bringing kids to Santa and Santa not being behind Perspex is much better.
Did the girls love it?
Well, it was much more enjoyable than Santa being hid behind a Perspex screen for the last couple of years. Happy/good news story of the year, which is sort of similar, not necessarily the same thing, because people have favourite moments that aren't necessarily a happy or a good
story. I just
want
to give a shout out to all the girlos who messaged me saying that they were pregnant. Love that for you.
Love that for them. Congratulations to you.
Yeah,
I hope everything goes well
that.
For you next
year.
One overwhelming suggestion that we did get back to happy or good story of the year was the Ireland women's soccer team qualifying for the Women's World Cup.
It's nice, isn't it?
It was amazing. Yeah.
So nice that, in fact, there was basically no other suggestions.
It actually was such an overwhelming win, and that is something which is worth reflecting on, because it is something that over the last number of years has picked up so much traction, not just women's football, but like women's sport as a whole, and how much that in this country our number one sporting heroes have trended towards being women. That is something which we've seen with Katie Taylor, Kelly Harrington, Leona Maguire, Ellen Keane, all these people over and over and over and over and over. You're seeing more and more of our top sports people being women. And that's having a huge inspiring influence, not just on young girls, because we always do this. We always say, well, there'll be young boys watching this when they're watching Lionel Messi in the World Cup and blah, 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 blah.
Young people.
This is it. The catchment and the amount of people who've attended Ireland internationals for the women's team in Tala or wherever else they may be now in the future, hopefully the Aviva for some of those big games. That's something to be remarked on. It is something which shows, again, just, you know, if you do back women's sport, it's going to have a huge impact. And it is. And it has a huge, overwhelmingly positive impact.
And it'd be amazing just to see how society takes to that next summer when the tournament is actually on.
Massive.
Like, it's going to be absolutely enormous.
You know? Will they have this breakout moment where, like, people remember where they were?
Well, it's the only one on the list there. It's the only one that actually...
No pressure, Vera.
It kind of says a lot, though, doesn't it? Like, that was a standout moment for
unanimous
people.
One for the girls in green for a happy or good news story.
Congratulations.
Worst gaffe of the year. Not uncontested.
I have a list as long as my arm for this one.
Do you want to talk us through some of the options then?
Some of the options that people suggested are ones which we'll all be familiar with at this point. We talked a lot on this podcast about Leo Varadkar in recent weeks and his "the grass may appear greener elsewhere, but it often isn't." People still believe that's a bit of a gaffe. He's obviously walked that back to some degree, shows that he believes it's a bit of a gaffe. One person suggesting Will Smith at the Oscars slapping Chris Rock was a gaffe. I would say it's a gaffe, all right.
Yeah, I think gaffe is probably not the right word for it. No. I think it was a bit more than that.
It was an uber gaffe. Yeah.
Eamon Ryan, who has over recent years would have dominated this category for repeated gaffes from 2020 to 2022. His standout one this year apparently is when he was at, I think it was at a European summit, and he was like trying to come up with the words for Russia.
Yeah.
And he
the
couldn't.
People who invaded Ukraine.
Yeah.
And he went all around the houses.
Well, he said, like, the USSR.
The European, the USS, the Soviet, the Russia.
Yeah.
Russia. But that he even went as far as like Soviet Union. Like that was.
He got there.
That was
the
vintage.
End.
Yeah.
Robert Troy owning properties and then running away from questions is another one from a listener there. So
have your fingers recovered from nearly getting caught in this door outside Montreal?
Yeah, a psychosomatic injury is what happened there that day to my hand.
Yeah.
But yeah, people, there's plenty. In fairness, we're never short in Irish politics of suggestions, really.
No, somebody says Rebecca Vardy and her hubris is the gaffe of the year.
Still a great yarn.
There's other ones. We've picked out the one audio clip because somebody said that just Liz Truss's very existence.
That was me.
I
don't know how you keep on asking. You've asked this multiple times.
That wasn't an Instagram suggestion. That was just
that,
you.
That was me, yeah.
Okay.
The very existence of Liz Truss in the year of 2022 is a story of ups and downs. And multiple downs. Because there were so many gaffes. I mean, you think back to when she was talking about, you know, relations with Ireland and she described Micheál Martin as the tea sock. Which obviously got a bit of a hammering around the place. She was only in the job for how many days?
48, 49 days.
That in itself is a gaffe.
Mm.
Her budget went down like a lead balloon. Yeah. I mean, it was just really embarrassment after embarrassment for Liz Truss. Do you remember she tried to curtsy? Her curtsy was a gaffe in itself, I would say. And also she was, at the time after she had taken over from Boris Johnson, she went to a school and she spoke to a lot of kids about politics, and it didn't go well. They were asking basically when she was going to evict Boris Johnson. Here's what happened actually when she did go meet those kids.
What are they going to kick him out?
They should go evict him. Do me a favour, when you become Prime Minister, evict him.
Well, he will have to move out at that point. That is true. That is true.
Very smooth at handling the question quiz.
Why is she so bad at that?
So bad.
It's patter with children. Is it not the bread and butter for politicians? Why can't you do it?
Patter is a great word. I don't even like patter. Do you say patter?
In these circumstances.
Yeah. I just only recently discovered the word patter. It's a great word.
She has no patter.
Yeah, Liz Truss.
My suggestion for this was, do you remember when the junior minister, Sean Fleming, at the outset of the cost of living crisis, said, listen, the government can't do everything, which is ever just, these weren't his words, but this was how it was heard. Basically, would you ever just suck it up and shop around?
I remember that.
Stop moaning, stop complaining and shop around. And people were like, I don't think you, a junior minister on 140 grand a year, I don't think you realise how much people are feeling the pinch of this.
Mm.
And that really kind of set the tone for a week or two as well. And in fact, one of the dominant stories of the year really has been the cost of living crisis and whether the government feels like it's empowered or in touch with people and whether it's doing enough. And that, I think, in a way did kick it off. Before we go take a break, Under the Radar, story of the year.
I'm glad I've escaped that gap of the year.
Well, now that you've reminded us.
No, but I want an opportunity to defend my honour on this one again.
Well, we were having one of our planning calls for this episode of the group chat, and Zara said, by the by, hey, who won the World Cup in the end? This being before the semi-finals of the World Cup.
In my defence, right, I thought it was over because our boss had gone last weekend. So I thought he'd gone for the final. And someone else I know who doesn't watch soccer watched the match. So I just presumed, is it over? And you were like, it's still on.
And I was prepared.
You really had to be there, folks.
I was prepared to let that slide, and you brought it up. Clairvoyant Zara, wondering who had won the World Cup. Under the Radar, story of the year. There's a few. Obviously, everyone wants to some degree say climate change. I don't know whether you can truly say it's under the radar anymore, because maybe it's not the headline every day, but it's there.
I would say one of the significant things in climate which happened this year, which has been remarked on, but hasn't really gotten the coverage that you think it might. It was obviously in Brazil, they had the presidential election there, and Bolsonaro, who had undertaken this massive campaign of deforestation of the Amazon, which is basically, it's basically the lungs of the planet is the Amazon rainforest. The fact that Lula da Silva became president there and he's basically said, right, we're putting a halt to all that. That is a significant climate change story, the ramifications of which we don't know yet, but that's why we should keep an eye out on that one. So climate-wise, that one. The one I had was something we've actually covered repeatedly on the podcast is the women of Iran, because I think that the ramifications of that story are just going to be very wide-reaching, as well as that, you know, there has been such a clampdown on good information coming out of there, and it's worth reflecting as well, because we've seen a lot of it in the World Cup, the protests of players and fans. It was announced there over the last 24 hours that Amer Nazer Azadani, a former Iranian national footballer, has now been sentenced to death as well, as they've started carrying out executions there. Wow. So really it puts into context what is at stake for the people who are protesting in that country.
One other suggestion that we actually got on Instagram when we asked about this, someone again said the removal of the blood donation ban for men who have sex with men. And like that, in a way, it has gone under the radar because it doesn't affect or doesn't materially impact a lot of people. But when you think about the absurdity that we've had in the last couple of years, where every time there's a shortage in the blood supply in the Republic, we import blood from the UK. And the UK allows men who have sex with men to donate blood. So we were importing this product, which we didn't consider appropriate for Irish needs, but we were importing it from other countries anyway. But not before a time that was removed because the initial rationale had long exceeded its past or its sell-by date and natural reason for that. We have more, another couple of awards that we're going to get through. We're back in just a minute. Couple more groupie awards to give out.
The name giggle. Is, I know the name fast. Is, yeah.
It's going to stick now, isn't it? The WTF, which is our watershed friendly way of saying it, moment of the year. There's one from today. The reopening of the Dunleary baths with no bath. There's no water in the Dunleary baths. So what makes them baths?
So what actually is it then?
It's basically a little plaza, isn't it?
Oh. So I think they said that they don't have the planning permission to basically do a pool there. So they've dug a pool into the structure that they've now unveiled, and they can take the lid off it and turn it into a pool. But they don't have the planning permission to use it as a pool right now. So they've done this 17-year project to restore the baths in Dunleary, but there is nowhere to bathe. It's basically just a concrete plaza.
So you can't swim there then?
No.
Yes, no.
So how are they baths? That's my WTF moment of the year.
Okay, that is, year.
You reminded us of the golden moment.
Really put a lot of thought into this one, yeah.
I was just going to say,
you reminded us, Richard, of the golden moment where, not so golden, really, a moment where Russian state TV did away with us.
That was a good moment. It was a good moment for the country.
That was, man.
Really unified the country in WTFness, which was, of course, when the Russian state television did a very dramatic CGI mock-up of a nuclear attack which started a tsunami which wiped out Ireland. And then there was the backlash to it, to which they responded as well. I think Micheál Martin very deadpan described it as a very sinister sort of threat and all that sort of stuff, which I suppose you could take it as that.
Yeah,
I think most Irish people, in the way that we always do, thought this is just mental.
He said it should be withdrawn, or like it couldn't be condoned or something, or he challenged the Russians to like retract it.
Not our job.
Yeah.
The host who did this whole flight of fancy about wiping out Ireland and Britain was like, he was like, I can't believe that Ireland flew into a rage and all that sort of stuff. But that was a good one.
Other suggestions from listeners. Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't know if there's a moment. That's just like the existence
another of. Another existence of, yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. The Crib Culture War in Dublin. She said, don't get me started.
Oh, the Bella Hadid, Richard Boy Barrett one was great.
Yes,
where
international superstar, supermodel Bella Hadid was sharing videos on her Instagram to millions of followers. Of
and
Richard Boy Barrett,
RBB.
A man who's entry into politics while
saving the baths in Dunleary. All very meta. Matthew McGrath and Daz. That was a
good. That was good.
Ask your parents and look it up. That's we're not going to explain it now. The Spanish hospital being used for Irish patients on a waiting list. Marty Whelan tattoo.
I don't know that
one. Somebody got into a dare and got a Marty Whelan tattoo.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, was it definitely a dare? They weren't just like big fans of Martin Moore and Lyric FM.
No, it was a bet or a dare. It was definitely, okay. We should have looked it up.
Putin/Ukraine is a pretty good WTF moment. Roe versus Wade.
Matt Hancock
in the jungle.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I said from the get-go that he'd do really well in the jungle, and he did, so I'd just like to note that I did say that.
Didn't I also say from the get-go that he'd be voted right through to the final
and then
not win?
Yeah. So you're right about that.
Finally, our final
group. This is the big one.
Unsung hero of the year. Can I say
and
three syllables for you?
Yeah.
Ekin-Su.
You think it's Ekin-Su?
I mean, I don't really, but I sort of feel like there was a lot of summer that she saved because she was just so riotously entertaining.
Where's she now?
Living with Davide somewhere.
Are they still together?
More carbonara.
Are they still together?
I think so.
Excellent.
Well, I hope so for the benefit of whatever ITV2 spin-off show that they're making that we may end up showing in the new year.
Surely it was the highlight of the year was getting this award.
The one that came up the most actually from the listeners, and I think it was actually quite nice, was Father John Joe Duffy in Creasla. Came up so many times for the leadership that he showed within his community around the time of the tragedy and how incredibly strong he was for everyone. So I have to say, I couldn't agree with that more. So he is definitely my unsung hero of the year.
Brilliant.
A few other suggestions. You know, we slightly
tough
took,
one to follow. Father.
You know, we slightly took.
Well, it's not about. It's not a competition.
No, you know, we slightly took the mick the other day when we started asking people for some of their highlights of the year, and like an absurd number of people said, "Oh, the launching of the group chat." And we were like, "If you think you're making your way into the podcast, you were absolutely correct." So I've only just opened it up now, and someone says that I am their unsung hero of the year, which is nonsense. Thanks.
Why'd you read it out, Gaff?
Thanks, wife. Someone says Met Aaron, unsung hero of the year. Someone else says all the reporters who work tirelessly to get our news every day.
Licks.
Vicky Phelan, we will never repay her for what she did for the women.
Vicky's not unsung though. I feel like, you know, Vicky is a hero. Full stop.
Vera Powell.
Yeah. Vera Powell is a great shout.
Yeah. The manager of the Ireland women's soccer team, who, aside from her success on the field, also had
Tommy Bowe's getting a mention in here as well. Go on, Tommy.
That was over the Leo Varadkar interview where he confronted about homelessness. Our camera person, Owen Kelly, got a mention there.
Yes, we love him.
Somebody messaged me about this unsung hero and said Catherine Martin. I was like, okay, I'll write down Catherine Martin. Then the person got back to me and says, I meant to say Catherine Connolly and not Catherine Martin. So well done to both Catherines in the doll for their mentions in this. Nancy Pelosi got a mention there as well. Josh Bradley is somebody who I do want to mention. He is the son of the Shamrock Rovers manager, Stephen Bradley. And people mightn't be aware of this, but Josh Bradley has been undergoing a battle with leukemia. And Josh has effectively, through effectively raising awareness, the story has effectively raised tens and tens of thousands of euro for cancer charities in Ireland. So well done to Josh and everybody sort of involved in that one as well. Unsung heroes as well. There's a couple of World Cup related ones. The Moroccan players, Maz.
Yeah, that was one of my suggestions, actually, because I think that they've just brought such colour to it. But also, Morocco could be on the cusp of going all the way. And if they do, it will be because of the vibes brought by the mammies of the players.
Excellent vibes.
I love those people.
World Cup schedulers who made it possible to see England and Ronaldo lose on both the same day, which I think is brilliant, to be honest.
Not all heroes wear capes.
And I think as well, like, also people who work on the news that you don't see on the TV.
We must single out, because we've only got 1 minute left and this is our last episode
of
the year.
One. So let's have a love-in about the people we work
let's
with.
Let's have a love-in, because people, when they tune in on the news, they see reporters standing in front of a microphone. Yeah. You never see the camera crews behind the microphone.
The
you never see
staff.
The VT editors, the camera staff, the assistant producers, the producers, floor managers, everyone involved in putting the thing together, and everyone, of course, in the gallery. None of it would ever happen without them. Certainly this podcast and this TV version of the podcast would have never happened without
them. And I can tell you, the crew who work on this podcast have had their patience tested a couple of times.
So before we test their patience anymore, we better wrap up. This is the last group chat of the year. We will be back in the new year in your audio forms and on TV too. Thank you for tuning in whatever format you have done all across the year. It's been great to be part of so many people's lives, and so many people have sent us nice things over the course of the year. So thanks to everyone who has watched or listened and showed up at Electric Picnic. Thank you, Zara King.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed this season.
It's been fun. Let's do this again sometime.
Let's do it again in January.
Thank you, Richard Chambers.
Thanks, Gav.
Thanks to Maxine, Ross,
thanks,
and
Maxine,
Garrett.
Yes. Killian.
And Killian. We love you.
Everyone made it what it is. And thank you for listening and watching. We will see you again in the new year. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.